Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Hey, here's what's happening Tuesday, October 22nd on this episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright, professional broadcaster and struggling rat rod builder. Master mechanic and metal butcher Shane Osborne is here as usual, except he's kind of not. Today he's being a ninja. He cannot be seen. But later today, he will roll in the door and we will all make fun of him. So just hold on until he shows up and then we'll call him names. And of course, Steve, the producer, Johan, is here, the guy who has a secret desire to ride roller coasters facing backwards. Back to the blacktop is first. We're checking out the happenings in the automotive world, and Steve has them as per usual. What be up?
Actually, Bubba? there is a ride that I went on, then it went up, and it came up, and then it rolled backwards, and so you were reversing on the roller coaster. It was quite an amazing feat.
I'm sure it was.
You're going backwards. You're like, what the? I can't see where I'm going.
I didn't pay for this.
Oh, yes. But it was thrilling and chilling on all that good stuff.
I'm sure.
I've never minded roller coasters. It's the spin-arounds that make me sick, like the squids or whatever they call those, octopuses.
Better known as the puker.
Yeah.
That was... going on the puker. No, I'm not standing anywhere near you if that's the case.
Yeah, I was going to go on the hammer as a kid at the carny, and there was some puke, and I went, I'm not going on this anymore.
So, Any ride that has the same name as a tool of destruction... The roto sip. No, see, I have one of those, and it's no fun to use, let alone ride on. I wouldn't even want to know.
No. It's not like being in a bullet car or something.
No, not the same at all.
Oh, my gosh.
Not the same at all.
Well, speaking of bullets and cars, major recall notice. BMW is recalling 1.6 million vehicles around the world, including 54,700 in the U.S. and Canada. Due to a potential fire hazard.
That's not a thing for them.
No.
I'm just kind of surprised. Fire hazard, what kind of fire hazard?
Well, the action is really an expansion of an earlier recall of 480,000 vehicles in Europe and Asia, and the affected vehicles, a fluid leak could cause a fire. More than 40 fires reported in South Korea alone.
That's not good stuff.
In fact, the South Korea government recommended owners of the affected vehicles to stop driving them until they could be repaired. Police raided the automaker's office in Seoul while investigating the issue after videos of cars engulfed by fire went viral.
This is not good. This is shades of Pinto.
Oh, it is.
Which models did it say?
No, it didn't.
No?
1.6. I got a feeling it's all of them.
Oh, man. That's just that. But just the European ones? Or
no. 1.6. It's all in the United States coming out.
Oh, man.
So if you're a BMW...
You'll get a letter.
You'll get a letter. Jeez. Man, that's going to cost. That's going to cost
a lot of money. It's not even the money. It's not the money to fix them. It's the lost confidence, the owner confidence.
Yeah.
It's like, now I got a car that might blow up. I mean, that's...
Oh, it's just... That's amazing.
Harsh.
Yeah, it's like the...
Do we own any BMW stock?
No, we do not.
Let's not.
I do have Polaris, and man, talk about recalls on that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nearly a million on theirs.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, Dyson confirms plant build to begin to take place.
Is the Dyson car.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I like this guy.
I do too.
I mean, he's clearly an engineer. He looks weird on TV.
I can't do his accent, otherwise
no,
I would do his accent.
No.
In the past show, we covered Dyson's entering the e-car biz.
Yeah.
Well, it's for sure now, as Dyson has confirmed, long-standing expectations will enter the electric vehicle market, announcing plans to build a new assembly plant in Singapore. And the reason for that is because it's situated in the Asiatic area.
Oh, sure, sure.
And that is a huge, neat call. China's really going strong on it. All the other areas are going strong
on it. Plus, it's a hub of manufacturing, shipping, logistics.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Unlike...
I want it to sound like the vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
I want them to crank it up and just. That's just.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Sure. Why not?
The Dyson.
The Dyson 5000.
The Dyson 5000. I can see a race named after that. Oh, yes. E-race cars. Now, when are we going to see that? Actual E-race cars, like Indy race cars, but they're all E. Yeah.
We're pausing now for halftime while all the cars get recharged. We'll be back tomorrow. What?
Oh, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to have quick change batteries.
Do you know how much those things weigh?
Well, I'm
half of the cars are built around the battery. I don't know what pit crew in the world could get one of those things out and in.
Well, we're talking a race car that you strip down and you have your big box battery right there at one point, and it's just you got your connectors, you click, click, bam, pull out, snap in the next one, and
well, you know, somebody will do this. Somebody will do this.
What do they weigh, about 500 pounds, the battery?
I have no idea. I'm sure they're heavy.
Yeah, they're huge. Got a crane picking them up, pulling them out.
Well, you know.
I think it'd be great. We'll see. I'll bet you there's more.
Indy pit stops used to be
look,
4 minutes.
Look, as more companies get into the e-company business, not to be confused with e-company customs, but the e-business,
nice.
I believe that
we
will
see.
A
free plug you tossed in there.
Yes,
that's
right. I did.
Hi, Elton. How you doing, buddy?
And they're 49.
41.
41 Cadillac that they're working
on. That's a whole other story.
They're going to have to take us for a trip on that. So, well, latest survey showcases better teen driver habits start at home. Now, you may not know this, but we've all heard that teen drivers have higher incidence of accidents and stuff.
Yes.
For me, it was just because I had a lead foot and I wasn't paying attention. But
and because you were 17.
I was 17.
Yeah.
I was 16.
Well, even though.
Much like the old ad campaign that shows dad sitting under the tree lighting up a cigarette, and then watches his son pull out a cigarette and mimic him. Well,
there was an ad campaign like this?
Yes.
What television were you watching?
Smoking prevention. Oh, my gosh. That was big in the 70s. And so I guess
I must have been doing something else.
Yeah, that was huge. Well, anyways, it showcases that parents and smoking habits have conclusively been tied together to a children picking up the habit of smoking. Well, the latest study now showcases how parents play the same role when it comes to driving.
I wondered where you were going with this. I thought
put
we changed
out by the
topics of the show for all of a sudden.
No, okay. I'm setting it up.
I
it's called a setup.
I got you now.
I'm going NPR now.
I'm with you.
According to a new study put out by National Safety Council conducted earlier this month among 1,000 U.S. teen drivers, 79% of them said they rely on their parents or guardians more than anyone else to serve as role model for their driving. So when I watch my son do things,
could be really good or
yes.
Not.
So folks, keep that in mind. I've got a 15-year-old. I've been out. He's been driving the vehicles, and I'm really kind of just not doing anything to say anything. And he's cruising around, and he's doing pretty good. Occasionally, I go, now see what's going on up there? See the lights going on up there? Are you paying attention?
Those are police officers.
Yeah, I know.
You want to take it down below 80 now.
Yes.
So,
well, at 99, you can't go that fast anyways.
That you know of.
Well, here, when we're driving.
I see. I think
we're not
one of
two
the
in
best,
the morning.
One of the best responsibilities that a current parent could do. If you really want to teach something to your kids as, you know, de facto driving instructors, teach them how to drive a stick. Would you please teach them
I
that?
I did that with my father-in-law's 18%. Truck on the farm.
Did you know that? 18%?
Yes.
18% of the current teen drivers are, that's all.
Well, there's no cars out there. They can't buy a car with a stick hardly.
But you, driver's training should have a car with a stick so you can teach them how to do the stupid thing.
Okay, so as I was saying, I went to my father-in-law's farm. We camped down there, and he has an old farm truck.
I took
the boys out, and they each learned how to drive a stick. After a while, we started out on the actual field. Then we got out on the roads, and they went, this is really fun. Mm-hmm. I go, yes, it is. It's very fun. It's a lot more fun than an automatic.
Well, now see, if you want your car to be theft-proof, just buy a stick. Because
half
the people can't figure out how to drive the silly
thing. I think you're exactly right. And then, or the three on the tree shift.
Well, sure.
Now that one is just really bad.
That's just insult to injury there.
The old Ford Econolines, I drove those with a six-cylinder and the three on the tree.
Oh, of course.
Oh, my gosh.
I had a 38 Plymouth that had a three on the tree. You betcha.
Oh, man, that was rough.
It was. Actually, it wasn't really rough. It was nice to
actually,
drive.
Actually,
it was a very smooth car.
My employer had about a late 50s, early 60s, big, huge truck with a big cargo, 26-foot cargo, like a U-Haul
thing. Like a box truck?
Box truck.
Yeah.
It has stick, 3-speed.
Sure.
Top speed, 45 miles an hour. And I love driving that thing.
Stay tuned for more of Steve's driving history. And today's trivia question coming up, and a visit from an old friend. All of that and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
For For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to Ravenstone Vapor Honing. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is a fast, economical, safe alternative to standard media blasting. Ravenstone Vapor Honing uses a system developed by Rolls-Royce back in 1944, a water-based cleaning system that restores parts back to factory condition with no scouring or heating to metal or damage to rubber and plastic parts. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is located in Snohomish, Washington. For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to RavenstoneVaporHoning.com. Redefining the way parts restoration is done.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Well, we're back with the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Time for the windshield view. This week we got a bunch of cool items to showcase, and Steve's got some more stuff too, but I have a confession to make.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I have to. I can't believe I did this. Last week, we were talking about two really cool devices, goody things, little extra pieces of gear for your car. And one of them was a digital MP3 player and tuner that I got from an outfit online called Gear Shanty. And it was kind of a cool little deal.
Right.
It's basically a tuner that plugs into one of the, your DC power plugs, like your, cell
cigarette
phone.
Cigarette
lighter. Yeah, yeah. And it was very cool. I swore I was going to bring it tonight so we could actually look at it. I put some pictures up and people could see what it is. And you know where it is?
Where?
It's on the table in my house next to the door where I was going to leave and grab it. I put it right there so I'd grab it before I left. And it's there. It's right where I could grab it.
I am guilty of doing that all the time.
I know exactly where it is.
Oh, my gosh. I've done that so many times.
However, I will tell you that in the last week, because I threatened I was going to do this last week, in the last week I took it to work with me and I plugged it in and tried it. And I have a couple of low-life Bluetooth speakers, which I just kind of used to see. The thing actually sounds pretty good. It cost me $30.
Now, did your the clientele that you cart around enjoy the music?
It's
put
a
it on some Glenn Miller.
No, I actually played AC/DC, and they thought that was just fine.
Oh my gosh, you're a younger generation driving around.
They just don't care. They're all deaf. Oh. No, it's not true at all. Not true at all. They're very nice people.
Very good.
I got quite a bit of interest in the thing because it looks kind of cool. It's got little blue lights and everything, but the whole thing is about the size of. Oh,
a packet of cards?
It's not. Yeah, it's about that size. Maybe it's not even quite that big. And it's got.
Well, bring it in. Let's see a picture
I'll
of it. Come
bring
on.
It in. I'm going to bring the silly thing. I feel like an idiot because I didn't bring it and I meant to bring it, but life is tough. Shane wanted to see it too.
Yeah. Well, he's not even here, so maybe there was a reason that you subconsciously decided not to remember to bring it in.
I would go with that, except I didn't know Shane wasn't going to be here until about 10 minutes ago.
That's a subconscious thing.
It is.
It went through the airwaves. It ESP.
Wouldn't it
be reverse
much
ESP?
Because, I think PSE or something.
PSE, yes. Pre-selective.
I have no idea.
In coding.
Yeah. So you got a couple other things you wanted to talk about.
I did.
What do you got?
I'm telling you, I came across this really cool thing here about SEMA. And it kind of dovetails.
Next week.
Yeah, it is. But it's a study that they came out with, and it dovetails really nicely with our guest. And it says, SEMA study showcases how much young buyers spend on auto-related stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The generation that grew up with cell phones and connects with friends and celebrities from all over the world still have a need and desire to drive cars.
Yes.
Uh-huh. What percentage of youth would rather give up their phone over their car? These questions and more are answered in a 2018 SEMA Young Accessorizers report. And here's what they came up
Interesting.
With.
Interesting. That'd be a tough question.
It is.
So what do we got?
Out of 24 million, there's 24 million individuals that fit the 16 to 24-year-old drivers in U.S.
Okay.
They drove over 155 billion miles.
I like that. That's good.
In 2017.
Yeah,
now you wonder why we need oil. Okay, that's a lot of miles.
That's a lot of miles.
8 million of those young drivers accessorize their vehicles each year.
Okay.
Young accessorizers spent over $7 billion modifying their cars last year.
That's a good news. I like that.
58% of accessorizers would rather give up their phone for a week than the car for a week. Well, of course. My son, he's all about the phone. But now that he's getting the bug and he's in the car and he's going, Dad, I want to drive the truck. Boy, once they get that in their blood.
But it's an age thing, too.
Oh, it
so
is.
So we're talking about over 16.
Yes, 16 and above.
Because under 16, I think they probably live with the phone. They don't care. Somebody's going to drive
Well, they don't
around.
Care.
Yeah. That's cool.
And then social life is very important to young people.
Yes.
And 4 out of 5 say their car helps bring them closer to their friends. And I thought
Cute.
That it's like a whole 75-page report. And I'm telling you what, my oldest son, when he bought my dad's truck, it was a little Mazda pickup 92, which now I've bought back. First thing he did is he upgraded the stereo,
yes.
put a subwoofer in it.
Yes.
He put in the WeatherTech floor mats,
uh-huh.
and he put on the what I call the rain guard plastic covers that go over the doors, you know, because there's
no
rain
so
gutters anymore.
So it doesn't drip in the car.
So it doesn't drip.
Yeah.
And I thought, what's this all about? And I got in there and went, oh, I like this. I can keep my window cracked, which I love doing,
mm-hmm.
even when it's rainy, to get a little
mm-hmm.
fresh air.
Yes.
So he did that. That was
your
probably
elbow doesn't get wet.
That was a few $100 he invested right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I took it back and I rebuilt the stereo, which was a couple $100 for new speakers. Found his subwoofer, got it in there, and now the thing kicks. So now my son is going, this is really cool, Dad. Can we drive the truck? And then of course he brings his cell phone, he plugs it into the adapter, puts in the iPod, whatever, clicks it, and starts listening to his music.
Sure.
Now, what kind of music do you think my 15-year-old listens to where you have to have a subwoofer going at the same
time?
The
best of Mantovani strings.
No.
No?
Things that I'm like,
Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs play bluegrass?
No.
No? None of that.
Something that has F word every other word. That I keep looking at him, I'm going, you're a young Christian man, and you're listening to this? Dad, it's not about what they say. It's about the...
Oh, yes, it is. It's exactly what they say.
And I go, no. That's... I used that same excuse myself.
Yes. I wrote that story. You can't use
it. You can't use that.
No, I meant...
Well, Dad, don't give me... I go, yeah, okay. Nonetheless, that's what he likes to listen to. That's his style of music right now, is the big R.A.P.
They'll outgrow it.
Yeah, my other sons pretty much yes, they have.
Well, as it turns out, your whole concept of how much young people are spending modifying their cars dovetails absolutely perfectly into why our guest is with us tonight. And I'm gonna sort of take a long way around to get with Thomas. But we've had Thomas Owens on the show before. Thomas is one of the founders of the Pacific Northwest Custom Coupes and Sedans Group. And it is kind of cool to note that there's lots of different kinds of car groups. There's the classics and the customs and the Kemps and the lowriders and the gassers and all those guys. But, you know, probably one of the biggest, and I think, if I can say this way, easiest to get into segments of car customizing is just making modifieds in late model cars that, you know, are the kind of things that most people have. They're, you know, not everybody's got a 55 Chevy. They're hideously expensive. But lots of people have Ford Escorts and other kinds of things that it's fun to do mods with. So Thomas has now... we had him on here almost a year ago,
mm-hmm.
And again a second time, but the group was just getting started back then, right? And now you've got some serious growth going on there because you've got chapters in how many different states now? By the way, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How many different chapters have you, or not chapters, but how many different states are involved in PNW?
Washington, Oregon, Canada, Montana, Idaho, California. There's some people in the Midwest, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, places like that.
See, this is great.
And
this
awesome.
Is all, I mean, obviously,
all
they,
Facebook.
They run, yep. Yeah, they run their own sort of meets and things like that, but they're all connected through your Facebook page. How many members do you have?
We have 1,570 members,
excellent.
Roughly.
See, that's huge.
That's excellent.
Now, that's the number of members on the page.
Yes.
But you kind of assume that anybody who's bothering to follow you on the page probably is doing the same sort of thing with their cars.
Yep.
And, you know, you're doing events and all kinds of other meets. I have to tell you, I watch the page. I'm a member of the group. And every week, there's something going on, darn near. I mean, it's very rare to go on the page and see, you know, somebody's doing something, they're meeting someplace or doing some kind of a run or a race or a gathering or of something. And that, in spite of the fact that, you know, we're located in the Pacific Northwest, and this time of year, we're starting to see rain and fog and other kinds of things, doesn't seem to be making a dent.
Well, and what I
still
really
going out and doing it.
Noticed as I get the posts, too, because I'm signed
right.
up, is that, hey, I've got this and this need. Can somebody come over and help me out?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm putting this together. Can somebody come over and support me with this? And it's mm-hmm. like a bulletin board
yeah.
for enthusiasts, and you get people yeah. feedback. Yeah, I can come over.
Absolutely.
Or they feedback. And, you know, we're moving right into our break here, and I don't want to interrupt. I want to get more into the nitty-gritty with Thomas. So,
well, yeah, we'll tell you why we brought him in here, because it's a pretty cool thing, and it actually dovetails into the season.
It does.
'Tis the season, not Halloween.
No.
Not Thanksgiving, although there's nothing wrong with those. We'll tell you what season we're talking about when we come back.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More horsepower, chrome, and rust after these messages.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone.
Welcome to the Safety Tip of the Month. This month's topic is high-speed riding. According to tire manufacturers, insurance companies, law enforcement, and common sense, riding at high speed is dangerous and can cause a motorcycle accident, including serious personal injury or even death. Regardless of the speed and handling capabilities of your motorcycle and its tires, a loss of control can result from exceeding the maximum speed allowed by law or warranted by traffic, weather, vehicle, road conditions, or rider skills. No tire, regardless of its design or speed rating, has unlimited capacity for speed, and a sudden tire failure can occur if its limits are exceeded. So here's a tip you can take to the racetrack. If you're a speed freak, join a local race club and take your passions for speed to the racetrack, where you will have a controlled environment in which to ride and in a process gain valuable riding skills. By the way, never use race-only tires on public roads, nor tires that have been subjected to the motorcycle dynamometer testing. The stress from this process may result in tread compound degradation and possible tire failure.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Back in Vehicle City, my old stomping
ground. Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of people back in Vehicle City right now feeling the blues. This is the third segment of the show, and this week we get a chance to talk with Thomas Owens, founder of P&W Custom Coupes and Sedans. The group has been growing, and they just got involved in a new charity event. So welcome, Thomas, back to the show. And I wanted to kind of give a first run on this. It's called the Northwest Toy Run. Toys for Tots, December 2nd, 2018, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Kent, Washington. And for more information, go to P&W Customs and Coupes and Sedans Facebook page.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it says, join car enthusiasts from around the Northwest for our annual Lexus of Bellevue Northwest Toy Run, benefiting the Toys for Tots Marine Corps Foundation.
Corps? You didn't say corps.
Corps, yes.
No, Corps.
Corps.
Marine Corps.
Marine Corps.
People are going to take you out back of the building if you say
but
Marine Corps.
Oh.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No.
I know. Okay.
No.
The Marine Corps.
Thank you.
Foundation. Because we don't want a bunch of Marines in corps.
No,
we do not.
No,
do
no.
not. No. Sorry. We'll reverse that. Yeah. So benefiting the Toys for Tots Marine Corps Foundation, presented by Pacific Raceways and Chevron. Toys for Tots helps less fortunate children throughout the United States experience the joy of Christmas by collecting new unwrapped toys. And Thomas, how did you get involved with this whole thing?
I got involved with the Toy Run event that they do just because of being a car enthusiast in the Pacific Northwest. My first time going to this show was in 2016, just after the group started.
Right.
We put together, that time was roughly like a week and a half. We did a little toy fundraiser drive to get some toys to take down with us to the event. Took down like $200 of toys, which it's a donation, so
yeah.
Dollar value is something to put aside in that type of setting. And then the second year I went down, we did about $500 donation, so we beat what we did the first year.
Yep.
Always good.
Took down probably four or five of the big rubber totes you buy in the stores full of cars and toys and dolls and all kinds of different types of age range toys. Good thing is it benefits kids in the Pacific Northwest. It's not just all kids around the nation.
Right.
So you're benefiting the area around you.
The nice thing about stuff like that is, you know, you do have chapters in other areas, and there are, I'm quite sure, toy runs, you know, in different places.
Yeah.
But the one here, as you pointed out, is definitely for kids right here in the Northwest. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, I'm not going to say anything bad about donating to United Way or Salvation Army or stuff, but I mean, they're national groups, as you pointed out earlier.
You never know where the money goes.
Well, yes. You know, it's just going to go nationally. Yep. It's not going to have as big an impact as it would right here. You get to actually, if you wanted to, see some of the people you're donating the stuff to, and that's really good. It's a nice way to, you know, to kind of get people involved on
a
personal level.
We'll post the information on our Facebook and make sure that we promo it a little bit on the show as we get closer.
Sure.
Awesome.
And so, Thomas, I want to kind of curve back to the idea of why did you found your group? What was the whole need in your mind to, hey, let's form a cool little club online in the Facebook? And what were you thinking?
At the time, I had a car, which is the car I still have today, that I had done some stuff to it, but seeing the newer cars come out, they got the ambient lighting and different LED headlights and the LED brake lights and all that stuff. Looked cool, but my car was an older one, didn't have that stuff around in the cars when it was out, so that wasn't a feature with it. So it kind of makes it fun adding those features into an older car. And being the one to do it myself makes it even funner because I'm involved in the installation process of it. And some of the stuff, being that I own a Ford Escort that's a domestic, you can't just go to the store and buy the part off the shelf, put it in, be done. some stuff you have to make, which I've done a lot of. About 2 weeks ago, I actually reconstructed my own front lip of my car, and it's not using any automotive part. It's actually a part for your house.
Excellent.
Or business.
Cool. Yep.
So when people ask me what my front lip is, and I tell them, no way. It is.
It's part of a hot water heater.
Yeah.
What?
So
actually, that's pretty common.
Yeah.
I
used the base molding that you see around like linoleum and tile flooring.
Yeah.
Yep.
For the front lip, because I wanted something to be about the same dimensions as my side skirts, and that worked fine. After a couple of days of driving after I installed it, I benefited by doing that because it made my front of my car lower and forces more air into my engine, so it runs about 15 degrees cooler.
Very nice.
Wow, so it actually works.
Yeah. Worth the $2.
The essence of the customizing business, whether it's full bore, you know, something really exotic and, you know, in concourse level, or whether it's just something you do in your backyard, mm-hmm. is just exactly that. It's trying something that might not have been done, finding something that works, even if it's not necessarily a car part. That's how hot rodding got started. It's what drives, I think, an awful lot of people to the hobby in the first place. And in the final analysis, it's just plain fun.
Yep.
Well, and you think about, I think about guys that are building custom motorcycles, and they take a shovel, and they beat it up, and then that shovel becomes their seat.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I mean, you use a big old...
Only for a show, though. It's not much fun on the street. I've been there.
Yeah, well, you didn't have been around to a tractor-style seat, right?
I had a tractor-style seat, but...
It's still not very comfortable.
It's fun to look at, but it's not real comfortable to ride. It gets real interesting after about 50 miles.
Yeah, well, most of the hand grips on those fancy bikes are useless, too. You got 5 minutes, and you're like, oh, my hand hurts.
But see,
But you're actually using a car that drives all the time.
Yeah, it's my daily driver.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's
kind of what I'm getting at. If you're doing modifications for something that's going to be practical, you're going to drive it. Show is one thing, but go is something else.
Yep.
And, you know, that makes it's important to have something that's going to be not only functional, but usable and comfortable in the long run. A lot of fun. A lot of people got started doing just exactly that, some little thing.
Yep. Well, and how did you get yourself going from yourself into starting your Facebook page?
Well, I had the interest of doing it, and my friend Phil, he's the co-founder of the group, which we both started the group. We were working on my car and his car and about 3 years ago almost.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided we liked it. He had a Oldsmobile Alero at the time. I have my car that I'm working on, the Ford Escort ZX2. And there's quite a few people around the nation that own them. They used to be popular. And then the Ford Focus came out, and that kind of crunched out that model of car. They don't make it anymore.
Yeah.
But they're very popular when you find them taken care of. And I've done all kinds of things, engine swaps, transmission swaps. I've done a couple clutches. Wheel bearings, hubs, suspension, all kinds of different things on my car. The body of my car, we look at it and it looks in good shape, but the body of my car has 300,000 miles on it. So, and I could go out and buy a new car, but I've done a lot of elbow time and wrench time on the car I have.
Sure.
So I like to keep it.
But how did that come into making you want to do a Facebook page and a group?
The interest of being a car enthusiast and liking to see what other people do around the area with cars they have and the interest they have and the creativity they have. And it kind of is a way you can express your personality elsewhere to other people.
So, it's just as easy if you have a hobby and you put up a couple of pictures of yours, then all of a sudden there's maybe a couple of other guys. It starts out with friends, I'm sure, and then pretty soon it's like, hey, you know, we should have a page. We should just dedicate to this, and pretty soon you get a few members and you get some shares, and all of a sudden you're the start of a movement.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I'm pushing forward to there, Thomas, is you started out as somebody who had an interest, but then you connected with other people who have the same interest.
Mm-hmm.
Each of them have a different car. That's what the beauty of car clubs and all that are about. But you launch something that people says, I want to be a part of this. I want to be able to ask questions. I want to be able to post. And it's evolved. Did you think it would evolve this to this point to where it is today? Or did you just think it was going to be, you know, a handful of people that you knew in the area? And are you pretty surprised at the amount of people that have said, I want to be a part of something like this?
I am pretty surprised it took off as much as it has and that it's gotten to the size it is. We have various different groups in the area that are on our page as well as the groups that they're in. But the benefit or the nice thing about ours is it's not just Hondas or just Acuras or just Yeah, just tuners. It's all makes and all models are welcome. Cars, trucks, sedans, custom, stock, it doesn't matter. Some people have the car stock. They don't want to do anything with it. They want to keep it the way it is, but they have an interest or like to hang out with people that do that stuff.
Yep.
So they're in it. That's fine.
You know, I have to say, back when we were just getting the show started, I was on Facebook, of course, like I always am, and I'm looking for a different stuff, and I saw your page. And I thought, Pacific Northwest Custom Coupes and Sedans. Okay, I get it. It's a custom site. So I started looking at it, and I called you up and said, hey, come on, and let's talk about your group. And the more I looked at it, the more I thought, okay, I'm trying to find a hook here. What is this guy? Is this a bunch of tuner guys? Is it a bunch of, you know, ground effects guys? What's the deal here? And the more I looked at it, the more I realized it isn't any of that stuff.
That's right.
It's just a bunch of guys who like
and
cars.
Gals.
guys in the human being sense, who just like cars. They like to fiddle around with them. They like to talk with other people. And I realized that's the identity of this group. And I thought, oh, this is actually brilliant because you can find a ton of 57 Chevy groups or everybody who's got a Studebaker or something like that. And some of those groups are really, really fun. They're nice people and everything. Some of them are a little bit insular in like, if you don't want to talk about Willys, we don't want you on the page.
Right.
Well, okay, that's your choice. That's fine. But this, you know, the PNW page is like all inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't care what they've got as long as they're willing to have some fun and, you know, let everybody else have fun with their stuff too. Yep. It's kind of cool. It has its own, you know, identity because of that. It's great.
Well, and it kind of reflects the philosophy of Horsepower Chrome and Rusta. I mean,
sure.
We don't camp on any specific make, model, or form. We are just about supporting the whole aspect of driving and fixing and working on it.
If you like cars, we like you.
That's right.
And trucks, and
all sorts of vehicles.
That's right.
But so I love that philosophy. And what's so cool about it is it's continually expanded, and people feel welcome.
Yes.
I think that's really the main thing: is people feel welcome. They're not put down because they've got a $1,000. 89 Crown Vic or a $30,000 rebuilt Porsche or something. It doesn't matter. No one's going to put each other down, correct? Yeah,
that's true.
That is so awesome.
Hey, before we get too far along here, I want to wrap back one time just on the toy run.
Yeah.
Now, it's coming up, and you're doing some stuff. If people want to get involved in this, they're going to go to your Facebook page.
Yep.
And we're going to put, obviously, a link to that on our stuff as well. But just to kind of cover it, it is December 2nd, so you got a couple of months,
yes,
you know, to really generate stuff. Is there anything specific that they want? I mean, it's Toys for Tots, it's, you know, the Marine Corps, it's the, you know, all of those guys are doing it. But is it just basically toys, or are there other things that people can donate and can collect as well?
The basic donation requests are toys unwrapped, new toys.
Uh-huh.
If you're interested in donating toys, we have boxes set up around at local businesses.
Okay.
That you can donate toys, and then we're going to collect those boxes and take them down as a group when we go down on December 2nd.
Okay, so here's what I'll ask then. If you have on your page, if you've got a list of the groups or something like that,
yes,
feel free to post that on our page.
Okay.
And I'm sure you can get on there, but just in case you can't, give it to me and we'll make sure to share it so people can find it on both pages. And, you know, the more the merrier, the more you can do.
We can help out, you bet.
We're all about helping you with this because it's a great cause.
It is.
And it's getting to be a pretty big event. This one's going to be down in Kent. This is at SIR, yeah?
Yes.
Pacific Raceways, Seattle International Raceways. It's been called everything.
Yes.
Over the years. But
it's the Seattle racetrack.
Did I understand that they are also getting set to do some sort of a track day if you go down there as part of this?
They do. Last year I went, they open up the track. You pay a fee.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the amount was you pay, but you pay a fee and you sign saying
your waiver.
Their waiver.
Yeah.
Of it.
Yeah.
I won't sue you if I kill myself.
Yeah. You can take your car out if you would like and go on the track. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
The first year I went out, I did that, and it was kind of sketchy in some spots because it was kind of a mixture of snow and rain that day.
Yeah. So. It's a little challenging, but, you know, just for those people who have not been to that track, SIR is a world-class road course. It's a real nice 9-turn special down there, and it's a well-maintained, fun track to drive. I can say personally, I drove off the road on that track once on a motorcycle at 80 miles an hour, and I'm here to talk about it. So it's a very forgiving track, but it's a lot of fun to do.
Well, the thing I like about it is we don't have the time because we're running up against our break here, but you also do something, I think it's in Snohomish, with lights on cars and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you're right.
We do. I haven't been told the date of when that's going to happen.
When you do, we'll post it on our page.
Make sure you get it.
So, folks, I want to say thank you so much for being in here, Thomas. This has been wonderful. And for more information, go to PNW Custom Sedan
Coupes and Sedans.
And Sedans on Facebook and find out more about them. We got a great story, of course.
Yes, we do.
Well, spoken by our good friend Brady. So be with us and stick with us, and we'll be right back with more Horsepower Chrome. For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to Ravenstone Vapor Honing. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is a fast, economical, safe alternative to standard media blasting. Ravenstone Vapor Honing uses a system developed by Rolls-Royce back in 1944, a water-based cleaning system that restores parts back to factory condition with no scouring or heating to metal or damage to rubber and plastic parts. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is located in Snohomish, Washington. RavenstoneVaporHoning.com, redefining the way parts restoration is done.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy!
Oh my God! Ah.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us, we're over here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact You Gotta Believe at YouGottaBelieve.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of the show. This is Cars Confidential, where we share all kinds of hot rod stories. And Brady, what's the story this week?
Oh, this week I grabbed another one from Old Car Nut book number 2. This is, by the way, the one with the Hot Rod Lincoln story in it, which is way too long to read now, but it's a very cool one. This one is called I Needed a New Toy. Somehow that's perfect because we were talking about the toy run.
Yes.
This is actually one of David Dickinson's stories, and it goes like this. I've always enjoyed buying and selling cars, and somehow in the last few years my attention's been drawn to pickups. Not much into tearing huge swaths of vegetation from my yard and loading up to go to the dump. I can't cite a particular need for a truck. We aren't planning on moving soon, and I don't even buy them to use as a daily driver, but just as toys to play with. Maybe I like to sit high in the saddle, so to speak, or maybe it's just the rugged feel of a twin I-beam suspension. But my last two acquisitions have been half-ton pickups, a 66 and 69 Fords, to be specific.
Ooh, nice.
So for about 10 years, starting in the mid-90s, I did drive a full-size Supercab 4x4 as a daily driver, but that was when gas was under $1.50 a gallon. I wouldn't want to feed that truck on a daily basis in today's economy. In reflection, I didn't need a truck then either. Of course, there's a lot of security in having a full-size truck wrapped around you as you blaze down the highway amidst a myriad of poor drivers, all too wrapped up in cell phone calls, text messages, putting on makeup, eating Danish, shaving, drinking coffee, or putting final touches on the report that the boss was expecting on their desk last night. Does anybody just focus on driving anymore? So, a few years ago, I found I had a buyer for a classic sports car that had been my toy for a while. I really enjoyed the car, but it had kind of been too long in the overall scheme of things. My neighbors accused me of changing cars like most people change underwear. And it was a really fair-weather car that sat for most of the year, so it was simply time to make a change. Just for the sake of change, I found a buyer down in Texas, and the transport truck had no more than pulled away from the curb when I began to sweat. My palms started to itch. A deep and gripping melancholy pervaded my very soul. There was an empty spot in the garage. I had to find a new toy.
Dun, 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 dun.
The internet would completely replace the newspaper, of course, for locating classic cars, so I grabbed a cup of coffee and a Danish, even though I wasn't hitting the highway, and went to my office to see what interested me. As a consultant to for sale by owners selling their classic cars, I counsel and encourage my clients to know the value of their vehicle to a potential buyer and do everything they can to make their vehicle ready to get top dollar. As a buyer, I'm looking for bargains, those gems that need a little shining up, or where the seller is uneducated when it comes to value. It doesn't make me unique, it's just smart. Not having a particular vehicle in mind, I started searching. I had a pretty good knowledge base when it comes to value because of what I do, but I also rely on established pricing guides as well, so when I spot what I think might be a score, I always double-check myself. Sometimes when an ad says, like new paint, you have to ask which side. I found a 1966 Ford F-100 custom van with a 390 V8 that had about 10,000 miles on the rebuild. It looked pretty good for the price listed, but I noticed that it was not in the boondocks. Oh, it was out in the boondocks and quite a ways from the general population. This guy was going to have a hard time getting any traffic to his home to actually see the truck. If it looked as good as his pictures, it might be a good buy. Now, keep in mind, they hardly ever look as good up close as they do in pictures. I called him, said, send more pictures. He promised the truck was all that he said it was. It ran good. I said I really should come out, and he didn't sound desperate but motivated, so I made an appointment and I took the long journey to go meet him and see the truck. I was all prepared to be disappointed, but curious just the same. You kind of do that when you're getting excited about something. I thought his price was too low to be a, you know, any real thing. My job was kind of to sort through the BS, so off I went. I got to his house. He came out to greet me. We chatted a little bit. He asked me to wait a moment. He'd be right back. I'm wondering why he had me standing there when around the corner comes the prettiest green pickup truck I'd ever seen. Instantly, I was smitten. It really did look as good as the pictures on my computer. Maybe better. Mentally slapping myself across the face, I came back to my senses and started listening for sounds both good and bad. Had a nice exhaust note, no apparent body and squeak and rattles and stuff. He pulled to a stop, let it idle. It appeared to run smooth and quiet except for the low, mellow tone emanating from the rear pipes. Visually, I was in love. It looked great. But driving this beast was going to be a different story. Knowing before I ever left my house that it has a 3-speed on the column and had Armstrong steering and manual brakes, I came to look anyway. Hey, I'm a tough guy. I could handle it. Besides, I had a value-sized bottle of Aleve. Looking at the 13-inch Grant steering wheel, 13-inch wheel with manual steering, and clutch pedal, I began to wonder. Of course, the proof is in the pudding, so we jumped in and took off down the long straight driveway. Upon coming to the street, I had to make a right turn and operate the foreign clutch. We were about to find out just how tough I was. Firmly gripping the tiny steering wheel, I reefed as hard as I could, letting out the clutch and feathering the gas. It wasn't easy, but I made it around the corner and went through the gears. My old knee was going to get a workout if I drove this on a regular basis. In my mind, I questioned if I was up to doing this all the time. I would have preferred to have an automatic with power steering. We drove a wide loop out into the country, which took us from his house around rural roads for about 8 miles. It gave me a pretty good feel for the truck. I told him I wanted to run it up to 60 or 65 real quick just to see how it tracked and so on. Well, I went from 45 to 70 before I could get my foot off the gas pedal. Acceleration was no problem. It ran great, but the steering and clutch, both issues in my mind. Did I want to take that on? Could I get used to it? It sure was pretty. In the end, I decided I'd let the money decide. I told you I was cheap, so I came to look at it because the price seemed low, and it was. Now, if I could get him to come down a bit more, I might be able to justify my irrational actions, so I made him an offer. It was really low, and this is where we started talking about why he was selling it. Seems that he bought it without his wife's blessing, and it was becoming a point of contention. While that may not be an issue in many homes, it was in his. He'd paid more for it than he was asking and recently had done work to it. He was losing money already, he told me. I didn't respond. I just let him stew. In the end, he came back with a number that surprised and delighted me, and we had a deal. I drove the truck for only a few months that summer of 2009, wrenching on the steering wheel and pushing the clutch, each time wondering whether I was having as much fun as I was telling myself I was having. I took it to car shows, cruises, made the rounds, a lot of gatherings. In the end, my sore arms and knee won out. I placed a compelling ad for the truck on Craigslist and a few other free advertising sites, stating that it was fun to drive and that the great paint, custom interior, custom wheels, Grant steering, AM/FM cassette, and tonneau cover turns Grandpa's truck into a modern workhorse or weekend toy. Then I waited for the calls and emails. Didn't take long before I found a buyer up in Canada. He came down with his son and drove it away. My arms and knee felt better already. As always, I made a significant profit on the truck and gathered a few more fond memories. I even built some muscle in my arms. Mostly, I had fun with the people involved in this old car hobby. But I still kind of want that truck back.
That's funny.
Driving a manual steering vehicle is an exercise in discovery.
Oh,
because
yes.
Back in the day, there were a lot of them, and you kind of got used to doing
it. My 92 Mazda pickup's a manual.
But now everything's power steering, and everything is power brakes, and it's, you sit in one of those things, and you go, dang, I forgot how hard this was. You get the Popeye forearms real quick.
I was test driving a 69 Roadrunner in high school to see if I wanted to buy it.
Yeah.
And had it not been for the way it shifted, I might have bought it. Yeah. But it was manual.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got in my buddies afterwards. My friend had come along, Bert, and we were out driving afterwards. And he says, what do you think? I says, that was a really cool car. I don't know, though. The shift didn't work too good. He goes, why don't you drive mine? He had the 66 SS or 69 SS Chevelle.
Yeah.
Power everything.
Oh, yeah.
Got in that thing, and I went, this is a different car altogether.
Yeah.
And then he said, get on a little bit. I did. I gave him a little start. And then I smoothed things out, and he went, damn, you had me scared there. I go, no, I knew exactly what I was doing. I just wanted to see your reaction. But anyway, long story short, I didn't go with that Roadrunner because it had that manual, and basically it was the shifting.
Well, you really learn a lot about yourself if you're driving a power steering vehicle, and suddenly the motor shuts off.
Oh,
that's
yes.
When you really learn what you're made of. Hey, the weekly trivia question's coming up. We got a hit at next week's show and another reminder about something that Thomas Owens has got coming up. So stick around, put it in park. We'll be here.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hang on till right after these messages.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino, El Camino.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve's favorite song of all.
Oh, I love it.
Of course you do. This is the fifth and final segment. This is Around the Wheel. We got events, rallies, club scenes, and all kinds of other cool stuff that goes on. But first, we're going to do the trivia question because we have a really cool winner from last week. Last week we did the trivia question, which was, what was the first car outfitted with an alternator rather than a direct current dynamo?
Now, you didn't ask what year, it was what car.
Yeah, what was the first car? But we have the year as well.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And you'll never guess who came up with the answer. Who specifically got to me. Did you know that you can make a phone call through Messenger, Facebook Messenger?
No, I didn't know that.
A couple of days ago, I'm sitting at home, and I get this really weird ringtone on my phone. I'm like, what in the heck is that? It's a Messenger phone call from Ron Foreman of the Rad Bastards
Car Club.
And so, I've never gotten one, so I pick it up, like, what the heck is this? And he says, I know the answer to the question. Now, this is not Tuesday night, so I'm like, what question? What are you talking about? And he said, no, the trivia. What? Yeah, I know the answer. Okay, what was it? He says, it was a 1960 Plymouth Valiant.
Wow.
I said, why would you know that? He says, because I had one.
Oh, my gosh.
And he says, and I fixed that stupid alternator more times than you can imagine.
Wow.
So, Ron, we got a bucket of barn find dust that we're going to make sure you get.
Congratulations. Set that right next to your award for the Hot Rod Hall of Fame.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, and which one would be the more valuable?
Yes.
Being inducted into the Hot Rod Hall of Fame or getting a coveted bucket of barn find dust from Horsepower Chrome and Rust? Come on. I mean, there's no question. Anyway, congratulations to Ron for going through the Facebook message.
That is so funny.
Just so you know, you guys can do that too if you know the answer. And here's the question for next week. Not only did we know what the first car with an alternator is, but this is another first car. What was the first car fitted with a replaceable cartridge oil filter?
Ooh.
The first car. Now, the cartridge oil filter, by the way, had been around for a while, but they didn't come stock. You could convert them.
Right.
But the first one that was actually fitted from the factory, if you know what it is, you can get with us on Facebook. You can go to email us at contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com, or you can certainly run into us at one of the many events that we'll be hanging around at. You could stock my house if you wanted to, but I have a dog that likes to eat people, so maybe that's not a good idea.
Or go to Hop Jacks.
Anyway, yeah, you could go to Hop Jacks and run into Thomas and I are looking at each other. I know this guy. Anyway, do that, and you too could be the proud owner of another bucket of barn find dust, which you can liberally sprinkle over any vehicle and immediately quadruple the value because people will think you found it in a barn. So before we get out of here, we do have one other event that's coming up. Thomas is going to tell us about a trunk or treat thing. What's happening with that?
Saturday the 27th from 5 to 8 at Albertsons in Marysville.
Okay.
It's 301 Marysville Mall, number 60.
Okay.
A bunch of different cars from the local car groups are getting together. Riders Awareness normally does it. My group, Pacific Northwest Custom Coupes and Sedans, is getting together. And All Cars Northwest, which kind of sounds similar to the name I have.
Right.
Yeah.
Same kind of idea. Same type of
cars. Yeah, we know the All Cars guys. Good guys.
We kind of all get together. It's about 200 kids come out and see the cars, see all the lights and things like that.
Cool.
People decorate their cars with Halloween themes.
That's the best.
We're going to be there doing that as well as taking donations for the toy run. So if you're wanting to donate toys, Saturday is the day. Come out and hang out. Have fun for Halloween and donate toys for Christmas.
Absolutely super. We will put that on our Facebook page so that we got all the information about that. That is cool. So, Thomas, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you here, a friend of the show, as we are well aware. Pacific Northwest Coupes, Custom Coupes and Sedans is on Facebook. You can go right directly to the page and find out all about all these things that Thomas and his boys are doing. And if you're not in the Pacific Northwest, that's okay. You can start your own chapter in Dubai or Miami or Puerto Rico or wherever else.
We actually have people in the UK that follow us.
Cool.
Excellent. Cool.
But they're driving on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
How much fun is that?
Oh, it's awesome. I've done it. New Zealand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I have too. Well, the music's our cue to hit the gas. Until next week, thank you to Thomas Owens for stopping by, and thanks to you for liking and following our website and Facebook page. You can check out the archives for all our shows at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne, the absent Shane, and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hand on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Slide on by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.